live from Financial Peace Plaza, it's the Dave Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. I am Dave Ramsey, your host, and this is the Best in Talk Radio. Service-oriented talk radio. Talk radio that matters. We thank you for joining us, America. It's a free call at 888-825-5225 or online at DaveRamsey.com. Click on Dave's email. Please keep those brief and to the point, and we'll do our best to answer them as a part of the show today. It is a free call. Thank you for joining us. We're going to start this segment off with Redmond, Washington. Mike's on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Dave Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for taking my call. God bless you and your ministry.
Well, thank you, sir. What's up?
So, my basic question is, do I need to sell my house? So, maybe I'll give you some information to help you, help me figure out that question.
How much is your house payment?
So, my current house payment is $1,650 a month.
What's your take-home pay?
My take-home pay is around... Well, let me just say, I got laid up not too long ago, and then I just started a new job, so I haven't received my first paycheck, but I would guess it to be around $4,500 to $5,000.
Okay. All right.
Along with that, I have a lot of other debt. I don't have a snowball. I have an iceberg.
An avalanche. Okay. How much other debt do you have?
So I have a HELOC on it. At about $100,000 on the house.
Mm-hmm. And how much is the payment on it?
Well, that's one of the problems is right now I'm only paying interest only, mm-hmm. and that is $430 a month.
Okay.
And then I have two school loans, which come to a total of about $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then I about... $6,000 in Visa debt. Right now,
how much
I've
you owe
been,
on your cars?
No cars. I mean, okay. I have cars, but no debt on the car.
Gotcha. Are you married?
Well, that's one of the things. Right now, I'm in the process of getting a divorce. Unfortunately, I've been trying to work on it for several years, but it just hasn't worked out. So,
okay, and you're going to get all the debt.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why I'm trying to work on, you know, getting all the debt and assets figured out. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of assets.
Will the house sell for enough to pay off the debts, first and second?
Yes. So I think that with closing costs and real estate and all that stuff, it'll come to about $30,000 equity left over.
Yes, I would sell my house.
Okay.
Let me tell you how I came to that conclusion.
Okay.
Your house payments are well over $3,000 a month with basically a $4,500 take-home pay. That's a ratio that you can't win with unless your income is scheduled to go up very quickly and a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's not what I'm hearing here.
Yeah, I may have misspoke it. The total house, everything towards the house, first and second mortgage is $2,100, but
yeah.
Then I have, I'm sorry.
Which is 50% of your take-home pay.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, approximately. And you cannot win when your house payment's 50% of your take-home pay. You can survive for a period of time and wait on something to change. And so if you tell me you think your income's going to double in a year or 2 years, then we start to talk about keeping this house.
Yeah, probably not at the current level that I'm at least not. One of the things that I think that once I solve my debt, I listened to your show, and one of the things you recommended was the 48 Days to the Job You Love, and so I started reading that book, and I think I know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think it could eventually, but, you know, that's a lot of I think.
Yeah, and here's the trick, too. You can always get another house.
Exactly.
And it, right now, this house is a boat anchor around your neck, and you're trying to swim. And if you go try to do something new, it'll be a boat anchor around your neck while you're trying to swim.
Yes.
I mean, you could get rid of all your credit card debt, a bunch of your student loan debt, be in an inexpensive rental as a newly single person, and clear up the rest of your student loan debt very quickly, build an emergency fund, and then start saving a down payment for a home you can afford. During that time, make these transitions that you're talking about, and do it very smoothly without all of this extra stress. Because you and I both know you can find a place to live in Redmond, Washington for half of what you're spending now that would be a palace.
Yeah, you're right.
for purposes of you living there.
Yes.
You know, and again, that's a temporary thing. Unless this was your grandmother's house and it's been in the been in the house a whole bunch of generations or something, there's no reason to hold on to this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mainly emotional that I'm holding on to it for myself and then for I have a 7-year-old daughter.
Will you be will she be living with you?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay. Then it doesn't matter much.
Yeah, I know.
The problem is this. There's stuff in your life that is, sadly, coming to an end. And you're trying to hold on to the past a little bit here. That just makes you normal, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody would try to do that. That doesn't make you a bad guy. But I'm looking at the math and going, dude, for the emotions that it's going to cause you, the pain it's going to cause you to let this one other piece of your past go, it's not worth it to hang on to it.
Yeah.
It's killing you.
Calling you in less than a year and telling you I'm debt free.
Exactly. And that, you know, and what that means is that we're going to get in a strong financial position for the good of this 7-year-old.
Exactly.
Instead of just hanging on to something because she used to have a bedroom down the hall there.
Yes.
You know, hey man, you can do it a whole lot better for her by making this move. Yeah, it'll be painful for her, but this whole process is, and you know, that's the sad part of the whole deal. So, thanks for the call. Appreciate you joining us. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Abby is in Lansing, Michigan. Hey, Abby, what's up in your world?
Not much. How are you?
Better than I deserve. How can I help?
I was just calling. First, I want to say we're my husband and I are big fans of yours. We're big believers in the concepts you teach. We've taught 2 sessions of the generation change at our church, and it's been a good thing for the young people in our church. So I want to say thank you for that program. But my sister and I are talking about in the future starting a small business in an accounting tax bookkeeping office. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I are in the debt snowball, and we should hopefully have that paid off in about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And just wondering what you would recommend as far as when the best time to start a business would be, and what I should do and consider prior to doing that.
Well, if you're going to do tax work, the best time to start it would be, you know, probably right now, so that you're set up and running to be ready for tax season. If you're doing accounting and bookkeeping, then the best time to start it up is any time, whenever you're financially able and ready to do it. You probably know I'm not a big fan of partnerships, and so I probably would recommend that you keep this thing separate, even if it's in the same office.
Yeah.
And you guys each have your own clients, and then if she decides she wants to quit, then she could either hand her clients off to you or sell them to somebody else or take them with her home or whatever. But I'd keep this very, very separate, even if it was under the same roof.
Yeah. Do you recommend waiting until the debt snowball is paid off, or, you know, so we don't put ourselves backwards in the debt snowball?
As long as you have a realistic expectation of actually making money really quick, I don't think you have to wait till the debt snowball's paid off. But you can't be dropping $10,000 into this deal while you still got debt. So if you could start it up on a shoestring and start it up on a thread, you know, and can make it make money, then it's just a great extra job is really what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now if you're going to put money into it that's substantial and it's going to be months and months and months before you make money, then yeah, I'm probably going to clear the debt snowball before I go forward with that. Hey, good questions. Thanks for listening, Abby. 16 minutes after the hour, open phones this hour. I am Dave Ramsey, your host. minutes after the hour. Tune in to the Dave Ramsey Show Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on the Fox Business Network. We are on Twitter as well. If you want to join us there, twitter.com/Ramsey Show. We'll get you some behind-the-scenes info, update you on guests that are coming up. Fun stuff happens there, really fun stuff. Blake Thompson, our lead twit, does the tweeting there. Occasionally the King Twit me tweets, but most of the time it's Blake. Facebook.com/Dave Ramsey. You can do that as well. And lots of comments and things coming from and through Twitter and Facebook, as well as email. So lots of good stuff going on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Listen, if you didn't know and hadn't noticed, we have officially launched a year-long project we've been working on behind the scenes, and that is the new DaveRamsey.com. Yeah, lots easier to use, a whole new look, all kinds of new stuff, a bazillion dollars and hours in research, figuring out what you wanted, and this is a completely redesigned site for you. More helpful than ever. We've pretty cool stuff. Plus, it's got a slick new radio streaming player on it. Man, I'm telling you, you're going to like that. And, of course, new business and kids and parents, teaching, teachers section, all kinds of good stuff there. So, DaveRamsey.com. You want to check this out. There's all kinds of new stuff there. And officially in launch mode now, 100% of you visiting. We've been letting some of you visit and just making sure we had everything right, and we've researched and corrected and moved things around and kind of almost eased into this thing behind the scenes, but now it's official. DaveRamsey.com, a whole new way of serving you. Amy's in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, Dave. I'm good. Thanks so much for the lessons that you teach. I see the world with totally new eyes.
Well, I'm honored. Thanks. How can I help?
My question is kind of along the lines of the ant and the grasshopper scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I am sort of a stereotypical older child. I feel like I have done everything like my parents would have wanted me to do. And I have a younger sister who has been the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, because I appear to be doing well, even though I have a mortgage and student loans and all of this, she gets a lot of assistance from one of my parents. And she needs it, and I don't begrudge her that, but I have a hard time sort of not being bitter over it and not letting it drive a wedge between us.
Hmm. So you do begrudge it?
She needs the money, and...
You intellectually don't, but emotionally you do.
Yeah. I hate that, because I don't want to be that kind of person, and it's just hard to feel like you worked hard all your life, you did the right thing, you're working hard now to pay down your debt, and couldn't I use free housing, my car insurance paid for?
How old is your younger sister?
25.
How old are you?
34.
Do you really think they're doing her a favor?
No, I totally don't. But, you know, and I've had this talk with at least one of my parents, and it always comes back to, she has an infant, and she needs the help, and they don't feel like they can really stop providing that help. And I don't know that, for my niece's sake, I don't know that I necessarily would want them to.
Mm.
So I guess,
well, I think they're crippling her.
I agree, but I don't know how to get that through to them, and I don't know how they can... I mean, she makes minimum wage, and I think part of her check is garnished, and she has a bad debt. And sort of to make matters worse, one of my parents is letting her stay in a house that belongs to them for free, mm-hmm. and that's a house they intend to leave to both of us.
So your parents are not together on this?
They're divorced.
Oh.
And he intends to leave the house to both of us when he dies, which mm-hmm. puts me in the position of potentially having to evict my sister and my niece from the only home she's ever known so we can put the house on the market and I can get half, because I don't think she's going to be able to get a mortgage to pay for it. So my question is kind of like, how do you find peace with that? And also, is there anything I can do to get out of that potential situation now?
What do you make a year?
My husband and I together make probably... close to around 85. Mm-hmm. And we've got something like 180 on our mortgage total, and I've got like 10,000 in student loans, but we don't have any credit card debt, and mm-hmm. we're really working hard to pay our debt down fast.
Oh, good. So how much have you paid off?
I just paid off a student loan from undergrad yesterday. I have vowed that no children.
How much
I
have
ever...
you paid off total?
Well, I've only been doing your program for like a month, so about $5,000. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, more like 11. Okay. But in our lives, probably closer to 30.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when family doesn't issue justice, particularly parents don't involve themselves in justice and only in mercy, it is hard for all the players. And, you know, when you only bring justice, I mean, you only bring mercy and you don't bring justice, that's called enabling. And it's tough on the one that's not enabled. It's tough on the one that is enabled. And ultimately, it ends up being tough on the enabler because they figure out that they've abused their child rather than bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And what's bothering you is that the sense that your parents should be just is violated. Am I wrong?
Nope, you're exactly right.
And if I were in your shoes, I think this is a spiritual thing on your part. And I think I would sit with my pastor, with a good counselor, and unpack this. And I would read the book by Dr. Henry Cloud, Boundaries. And I would work very, very hard in the next 6 months to completely divorce myself of any expectations of any financial anything ever, including half of this house. And go live your life without any money ever coming from your parents, ever.
Okay.
And be really good with that. And then when they give you half the house, deed it over to your sister. You have a good life.
Thank you.
Thanks. After the hour, I am Dave Ramsey, your host. We appreciate you joining us, America. Thanks for being here. Today's question of the day is brought to you by Blinds.com, the website that crushes home improvement store prices. And hey, now's the time to buy blinds and shades in time to have them up for Thanksgiving and the holidays before all the relatives come. You'll have the windows looking great. And of course, you'll, hey, don't wait till it's too late, then blame me because I told you. That's the deal. I told you, get them done, and get them done at a great price, and that's Blinds.com. Twitter is where we get our question of the day. Bob sends this, what do you look for when interviewing a new team member? I just graduated from college, and I'm about to start interviewing with companies, so I need some tips. Well, I think it's always good, especially when you're new at interviewing, to think about what you're thinking about. I think you're brilliant to ask that question. Put the interviewer's shoes on. What is it that they're looking for? And, you know, all the studies tell us that a lot of interviews are decided in the first 30 seconds to 3 minutes. When you walk up to someone, you look at them, you assess their grooming, their dress, the light in their eyes, their smile, the way they carry themselves confidently, or do they carry themselves like a victim? And, you know, do they stand, look at you, smile, make eye contact, embrace the meeting in the sense of with a good handshake, those kinds of things. A lot really is riding on that to at least get to the next level. And then once you get past those kinds of things, then what we're trying to determine on the other side of the table is if we saw all good things there, is what we saw real? Did we really see what the real you is? And is this someone that's got a work ethic? Is this someone whose value systems plug into who we are? Is this someone who has the skill set and the energy and the ability, the relational intelligence to come in and blend into our organization and cause more revenue to be saved or produced due to them being there than they cost? And that's what we're always looking for in business. If we're hiring someone, I expect to make money on the transaction. Otherwise, I don't get to pay you for very long because you're a drain on the system. Well, isn't like a secretary or an accounting person a drain on the system? No. Really? They're not. They're not. If you're staffing properly, those kinds of staff positions that are not revenue-producing positions free up the revenue producers. Because if I've got to sit down and answer all the letters by typing them out myself, if I've got to answer my own phone calls and I have to do my own accounting, I'm not available to go make revenue. If I'm the one making the revenue. And usually in a small business setting, especially, that's what you're looking at. So staff positions must free up the revenue producers or make them more efficient to where they, as a result of that staff position, create more revenue than that staff costs. And revenue producers are a simple formula. Bring in more than you cost and convince me that that's going to happen. How many of those people can I hire? Infinite number. An infinite number. If people bring in more than they cost, mathematically, I can hire an infinite number of those people. And that's really, at the end of the day, the question that we're always asking, all of us in business, when we're adding to our team and committing to pay you money for being there. So how do you convince somebody of that? Well, it's an interesting process. Another one on Twitter, canceled our credit card today and got the you absolutely must keep one credit card open speech. I instead chose freedom. Way to go! Awesome! I like it. Donna is in Dallas. Hey, Donna, how are you?
Doing okay.
Cool. How can I help?
Well, I've got a check in my hand for $70,900.
Wow.
We've gambled everything on being entrepreneurs. And I need some security, and I need to do this right, and I hope it's not the last $70,000 I have in my hands.
Where did you get the $70,000?
We sold our previous house.
And you're going to use this $70,000 to open a business?
No, we opened the business 5 years ago, put in $140,000 from our 401k, left a six-figure income, and here we are.
The business failed?
No, it's just a struggle. I take out $2,700 a month half the time, and I take out $4,100 a month the other half the time. But it's a fight to get that $2,700 every month.
Okay. And if you closed the business, what could you earn by working for someone else?
Not much from my standpoint, probably less than $20,000 a year. My husband doesn't want to go back to
that wasn't what
road.
I asked.
What could he earn?
Yeah.
If we moved closer to Dallas and where we are, probably six figures.
So you're trading six figures plus $20,000 for $2,700 a month, maybe $4,100 a month. Right?
Absolutely. I'm following my husband's dream.
Which is to make half of what you could make otherwise.
Hopefully not forever, but so far that has been the case.
How long has the business been open?
5 years. This is our fifth year.
Make me believe it's not going to continue to be the case.
I can't.
How can he? Does he have logical bullet points that he could walk through and say, this is why our net profits are going to double in the next 3 or 4 years?
I believe so, yes. Yes, by getting known in the community, by the software that we've got, our customer service is the best in the area.
Why hasn't that yet resulted in income?
Of course, the economy is the easy answer.
Not good enough.
Why has it not resulted in income?
Not good enough.
I would say mistakes, being new entrepreneurs, mistakes have been made.
Are they behind you?
Yes, they are behind us, yes.
Okay. Then that's a logical reason to see that your income would be coming up.
Okay.
I'm buying. So what you guys have to do is, what you presented to me in the early parts of this conversation was a rat stuck in a wheel.
That's how I feel, yes.
Run, get nowhere, and now here I sit with my household equity sitting in my hand. I'm scared. I don't want to lose that, too, because this dream is starting to feel like a nightmare.
That's how I feel, yes.
Okay. And so what we've got to do is we have to ascertain, what is that feeling from? Is it from the past, or is it due to what you see the future to be? And what you're telling me is it's from the past, because as I start really pushing you on it, you start telling me about a good future.
Yes, I believe that.
But the wounds of the past are still hurting enough that it's clouding your ability to see that future. Am I wrong?
Yes, the wounds are deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
let me give you one more point.
Okay.
We're doing the Dave Ramsey thing. I've just got $5,300 in savings.
Mm-hmm.
Killing myself to cover the taxes, to cover life insurance, car insurance, etc.
Mm-hmm.
My husband wanted to bless me. I try so hard not to ask for things.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, I like this computer. I would like this computer. It's wonderful. He wanted to bless me. He did not use the American Express card, which is a huge deal, but he pulled $2,000 out of the savings to pay for that. So,
without talking to you?
Yes. I'm striving to go forward, and I get kicked back every single time.
So everything that has to do with you not believing in the future has to do with you guys aren't on the same page.
That is true.
Okay.
Even though I think he's 75% on board with the Dave Ramsey plan.
It's not my plan that matters. It's that you guys aren't on the same team.
Yes.
75% on the same team will cause you to lose every single football game.
Yes.
You cannot catch a pass, you cannot block, you cannot punt when you're 75% on the same team. And you will go out of business, too. Much less not move forward with personal wealth building. So
yeah.
I think that the two of you, with this $70,900 check in your hand, need to sit down together and maritally and business and career-wise have a kids are at grandma's full day come to Jesus meeting where we sit down together and we say, listen, I can't do this future if it looks like this past. I am not signing up for that.
Do I have a choice in that, Dave?
Sure you do.
When we did this deal, the choice was, I either threaten divorce and he stays in the six-figure income in a job he doesn't want, or I come on board, we make the move to my parents' town, because I can deal with going from six figures to nothing easier than he can go to work every day in a job he hates and end up leaving me.
These are not the two options. There's more options than that.
Okay.
But this business model has to have a future that doesn't leave you feeling like a rat in a wheel, and the other career options that are on the table have to have a future that doesn't feel like I hate my job every day.
Okay.
But there are more jobs out there than the I hate my job every day choice. But he has a responsibility to himself and to the future and to you and to your kids to get this income up to where it sounds like it can go, but part of what makes you think it can't go is illogical because of the past. Part of what makes you think it can't go is logical, and that's because you're 75% on the same page, which by definition is on two pages.
Yeah.
And so you've got, you're not being emotional. You're not being illogical, and you kind of feel like you are.
Yes, I do.
And so I want to tell you you're right. He's right to want to live his dream, but part of the deal he has to do as an entrepreneur is continually sell his family and sell himself with logic, not on a just, I want to live my dream, me, me, me. He has to say, this is a business plan, this is where we're going, this is logically how we're going to get here. We used to do A, B, and C, that crippled us, instead now we do X, Y, and Z, and that's why we're going forward. This is logically where we are, it's not a pipe dream. It's not a rat in a wheel, and the only reason you feel that way is because I'm inconsistent and go buy freaking computers without talking to you. I'm going to stop that so that you can be supportive of me and we'll move forward in this business together logically. Is that am I missing something?
No, sounds good to me.
All right. You guys got to talk, darling. You're going to have to spend some time one-on-one. 46 and a half minutes after the hour. This is the Dave Ramsey Show. One minutes after the hour, our quote of the day from James Allen: to begin to think with purpose is to enter the ranks of those strong ones who only recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment. Cool. That's really worth doing. I mean, that's to begin to think with purpose is to enter the ranks of those strong ones who only recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment. I'm often asked when I'm being interviewed by a reporter in the newspaper world or even the television world, what's the number one mistake people make with money? And my answer is they don't pay attention, which leads you to a lot of other sub-mistakes. But they don't pay attention. They don't bother to be intentional. To begin to think with purpose is to enter the ranks of the strong ones. Jeffrey's in Jackson, Mississippi. Hey, Jeffrey, what's up in your world?
Hey, Mr. Dave Ramsey.
Hey.
Such a pleasure to talk with you, sir.
You too, sir. What's up?
Okay, well, the reason why I wanted to call is I'm in sales and marketing, and I received a letter from the IRS saying that I owe $10,000 in back taxes. So I'm talking with my accountant, and I was able to get that down to like $7,000, and they're going to try to do like an abatement to see if they will.
Why did you owe $10,000 or $7,000?
Well, I think the reason why is my accountant didn't add in some of the income that I'd made from last year.
That's a bit of an oversight.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't make the income, so I'm trying to work it out with them, and I just signed the letter to send it off today. So, thankfully, I don't think I'm going to have to, like, go borrow a loan because I'm about to make, if everything goes through, which is looking great, I'm about to make $60,000 in the next 2 months.
Wow.
So on some transactions that I've been working on for like a half a year.
Cool.
But so I was going to ask you, I don't want this to happen again, so should I go ahead and send them a portion of the taxes when I make this money already? Like just do it right then when I make the money?
No, you need to set up quarterly estimates. Are you on 1099?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you need to set up. You need to be doing quarterly estimates. How come you're not already? Is your CPA not know that?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm going to go get a new CPA.
I think you are too.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of get where I needed to go on that, and then with the other money, we have my wife and I think she's listening on radio. Hey, Meg. We make about she makes 31, and my income's variable, so I'm about 45 right now for the year. So I was going to see what we needed to do with the rest of the money that once I set that aside for taxes, and I'm going to go ahead and pay IRS like right away when I get
No, you're going to set the money aside for taxes. You're going to pay the IRS the $7,000 that you owe them.
Right, yes, sir.
And you're going to
yes,
set their money aside for taxes, and you're going to go to DaveRamsey.com and click on CPA ELP for the endorsed local provider in that area that I recommend, and
yes,
they're going to set you up for quarterly estimates, and then when your quarterly estimates are due out of that $60,000 worth of income, you'll pay them and you'll stay ahead of. See, all you're doing then is you're withholding on yourself. You need to set aside about a fourth of your money for taxes.
Okay.
So if you make 60, set 15 in an account, not to be touched.
Okay.
All right. Now, then what are we going to do with the money after we have our taxes paid and we got tax money set aside going forward as well? The rest of the money you apply to what we call the baby steps. And baby step one is $1,000 in savings. Do you have anything in savings?
Roughly like $500.
Then you need to finish that up and have $1,000 in there. The second step is to be debt-free but your home. Do you have any debt not counting your home?
Yes, sir. I wrote it down. We estimated about probably 75 to 85.
Okay. Well, you're going to work off the list those smallest to largest and pay them down in that order. What are these? What are these debts?
So, my wife's student loans. She had to put herself through school. She had
right.
No help.
What is the student loan amount?
$70,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then the IRS, I put that in the $7,000. I just had to put a transmission in. So that's like $1,200. The rest is I'm going to pay off my second vehicle, and that's like $3,500.
Okay. So you're going to pay off the transmission and the other cars, and then you're going to start to work on the student loans in that order.
Okay.
That's
okay.
How we're going to do it. Smallest to largest down through there once the tax issues are all taken care of and set aside.
Okay.
And that would be the, you know, the way to unfold that, if you will. And so you've got some more work to do to finish up getting out of debt. And when that's done, then you'd move on to baby step three, which is having a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. And then once that's done, you'll move on to baby step four, which is 15% of your income going into retirement. Baby step five is start to save for kids' college. And then six is pay off your house early. Jeffrey, if you'll stay with that, if you'll keep your focus on that, the average family following this stuff, if they're doing the total money makeover steps, these baby steps we call them, they're having their home paid off in about 7 years. That's the average. And so again, $1,000 in the bank is baby step one. Two is paying off all of your debts, working them smallest to largest. Once you've done that, you pay on debts, list your debts smallest to largest, pay minimum payments on everything but the little one, attack the little one with a vengeance. Moving right down that list then, once all your debts are gone except your home, you move to baby step three, and that's go back to that $1,000 account, raise it up to 3 to 6 months of expenses. That's going to take you about 6 months on average. Takes you about a year and a half to 2 years on average to get the debts paid off. And then you move into retirement at saving 15%, into college savings at baby step five. Six is pay off the house early. Seven is become very wealthy and give a bunch of it away. This is the Dave Ramsey Show.
This program is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice.